Hey everybody, Derek here for Gamer Heroes. I've got my co-host John with me. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good,
it's
man.
Good to be back.
We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be talking, of course, gaming news, including Red Dead Redemption 2. We'll be talking a bit about Nintendo being sued. The information on the Atari VCS has been updated a little bit. And we've got some Call of Duty information. We're going to be talking about games that we've been playing recently, including Diablo 3 and Overcooked. And we'll probably talk about a few other things too. So let's dive right into the current events. First off, for those who've been following us really closely, we've been experimenting the last few months here in 2018 doing some streaming of games Wednesday nights on Twitch. And we are going to be taking a hiatus from that. We have been working around with it. It's just not really our thing. We haven't found our groove yet. We have switched up the games quite a bit. For those who are not aware, we played Overwatch, Left 4 Dead 2. We played some Borderlands 2. We did Diablo 3. And we just kind of have to find our niche, find our groove. So we're going to go on hiatus there, put that on pause for a little while. So you're only going to find us here on Gamer Heroes every other Wednesday on the podcast. So that is happening on that side, but we'll let you know if anything changes. John, why don't you start us off with a bit about Call of Duty?
So if you guys follow, absolutely, if you guys follow the Call of Duty games anymore, Call of Duty has, the games franchise has a couple companies that create the games, and that's why we're able to get basically a new game every single year. It looks like the Treyarch game that owns the Black Ops series is coming out with the fourth installment of the game. And in this installment, they are completely throwing away the campaign, and it is going to be all multiplayer. I personally think that is kind of silly. I think it's something they've been kind of doing for a while now. I'll tell you what, since World at War, which was technically Call of Duty 4, has basically was the only one that had, like, since that game, they've kind of just been slowly tapering off and shortening and shortening and shortening the single-player campaign. And I think they've gotten to a point where they've kind of just, we've written ourselves in a corner, we went back to World War II, we did this, and they're kind of running out of ideas. And most of the time, most of the players for Call of Duty franchise fans, I should say, do play the zombies, and they play the multiplayer, and that's like one of the big portions of the experience. But come on, you gotta have at least a single player mode. It's kind of like, I understand you guys have been kind of, you know, writing less and making it shorter and shorter here and there, and you've kind of been preparing us for this, but it's just kind of, to me, so what are you gonna do? Like, Destiny is one thing. Destiny has new missions. You know, you're doing the same missions, but you're using them to level up. What are we doing here? Are we just going to play run and gun all the time, all day, every day? Is that it?
Well, look at the super successful games right now, PUBG and Fortnite. They are battle royale style games with no campaign of any kind, where you sometimes team up, sometimes don't, and just shoot each other, winner take all kind of thing. I mean, those are the big games, and they're a lot cheaper to develop because you don't need the same type of writing staff. You don't need the same type of, you know, cutaway animations. Yes, voice acting, all of that. So it's a cheaper way to produce a game, and if people like it, if people are enjoying it, then it is enticing from the bigger companies, you know, like Activision and EA to think about that and adjust course. As far as Call of Duty goes, I have very little to say about that. I have not played a Call of Duty game since the original Xbox.
I stopped at Black Ops 2. I just can't do it anymore. I've tried coming back into Advanced Warfare, and it was just ridiculous. Like, at this point, you're basically you can do everything that Iron Man can do in the game. And it got to a point where it's just oversaturated, and it's no longer fun. In my personal opinion,
mm-hmm.
So it's it's one of those things for me. It's like they're going to continue to use the same formula and they're not changing it, or they're not making – they've got a cap eventually. Like, I am surprised they've kept this much momentum this long, because if you actually boil it down, there are a lot of better multiplayer first-person shooter games out there as we speak. And you mentioned PUBG is one of those. PUBG may be, a little early in its infant phase, I'd say, but it is still way more entertaining than these games.
I think that's the thing, right? It kind of depends on the person. For me, I never really got into the Call of Duty games. I like the more sci-fi aspects, so I'm a big Halo fan. I'm a Gears of War fan. I don't really want the ultra-realistic war games. I want them to have a fantasy aspect to it. And yes, I know one of them took place in space, but that's not the point. So, I don't know. PUBG's not really my thing either, though. I have no problem with the game, or anything like that. But the idea of just, 100 people drop and last one standing wins, like, that's cool. And I'm glad people are enjoying it. I just don't think it's for me.
I totally agree. I feel like, for me, those games get old quick. Because, like, what is the real goal here? To level up, right?
In PUBG, it's not, though. In PUBG, it's just a matter of, just getting those wins, getting on the leaderboards, that kind of thing, and which is totally fine, right? That's not enough
to drive me.
Well, right. So, that's why there's so many different genres of video games, though. Some things are for us, some things aren't, and we just kind of gravitate towards the things we're interested in. That's why I have, I played all of the Gears of War games except for Judgment. I didn't play that one, but I played the other four last year in 2017. I like that. There's monsters and sci-fi weapons and all that kind of stuff. But, there's shooters aren't for everybody. There's plenty of people out there that just aren't interested in shooters. They want open world stuff like Breath of the Wild, or, even fantasy driven stuff that's a little more realistic like the new God of War. Not everybody wants a third or first person shooter.
Right, right. No, I understand. There's definitely diverse. There's a lot of games out there for you to play. And I'm not saying you shouldn't play Call of Duty, but for me personally, I don't understand what keeps this franchise going. This is just the next step, I guess. They've been working towards this for a while. You can look for this game coming out in, it looks like, they have a release date October 12th. So you guys can play Black Ops 4 October 12th. If you guys are listening, I do want to get your opinion. Why do you like playing Call of Duty? What about Call of Duty do you like? What about Call of Duty don't you like?
Yeah, absolutely. Hit us up. We are Heroes Podcasts, the Heroes Podcast Network. So you can go to @HeroesPodcasts on Twitter or Facebook, or go to our website and comment there. Or hit us up on iTunes and drop us a review. Let us know what you think. That kind of stuff is also good. But all right, so we will move on a bit here. So I'm going to bring up a bit about the Atari VCS. So
please, do we have any information yet?
We have more information.
They told us what the button scheme is this time?
This is so weird. So we've been following what used to be called the Atari Box for months now. Atari announced that they were bringing a new home console out to the market for the first time in 25, 30 years, give or take. And they've renamed it to the Atari VCS, if you were unaware of that. But it's getting close to game time here. So the console hits its Indiegogo campaign on May 30th. That's when that drops and you can begin, quote, pre-ordering or helping crowdfund this new console. So obviously, if you're not fairly well off financially, or video games are just not your 100% passion, dropping $200, $300, or more on a console, you kind of need to know something about it, I would imagine. So we know a little bit more. We know that it will handle 4K. We know that it will handle 60 frames per second. It'll have USB 3. It'll have Bluetooth 5. We know those things now. Those are important things to be aware of. If we don't know what those games are, then things get a little more murky, right?
That's the part that I'm Like, I really need to know what you're supporting, because like you said, I don't want to play Asteroids in 4K.
And that's the problem. So it's going to come with what they're calling the Atari Vault, and that'll be over 100 games of classic Atari games. So that is things like Asteroids, Missile Command, the old school stuff, the games that didn't even necessarily have color screens.
Pong.
I don't know if Pong will be included. I can't remember if Pong was an Atari game or not. It may have been Coleco. My memory is failing.
That in 4K is lit.
Yeah, like that's the problem, right? Like nobody wants to see, or nobody needs to see Asteroids in HDR, but the Atari VCS will support HDR. But we don't know what else it's going to play. The official quote is popular modern titles. Well, what is a popular modern title? Does that mean it's going to be able to play the things like Red Dead Redemption 2? Is it going to be able to play God of War or games of that caliber of graphic style? We still don't know that information.
Well, here's my thing. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we already know what consoles and platforms the game is coming out on, so it's hard to sit there and say, oh, it'll be on the Atari. I don't know, because they've already released, they've already told us, Rockstar, let's use Red Dead Redemption as an example. They've already told us what platforms those are coming out on. Now,
well, that's not necessarily true, because remember when the Switch was coming out, games were still released without mentioning the Switch until later. Games like Doom, Wolfenstein 2.
No, but those were late, much, much later on.
Well, but this isn't going to be out this year either, though. Like, this console ships in the spring of 2019. So if Red Dead 2 was going to be available for it, they would have no reason to announce that yet, because the game will have been out for almost 6 months by the time the new Atari comes out.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they could very well do that. I think, in my opinion, the only real way for this thing to be successful is to do a combination of what a console can do and what the Steam Box can do.
Yeah, I mean, that would certainly be something. It is a very confusing thing. I need to know so much more about this, because Atari's more modern games are still nothing really impressive. You've got the Roller Coaster Tycoon. You know, those games, and I love Roller Coaster Tycoon. I'm very excited that they're making a new one. But it's certainly not the same type of game as these big AAA titles that we're seeing now. So in a world where people already own a PS4 or an Xbox One and, you know, worked really hard to then pick up a Switch or something like that to have Nintendo's library of games, who is this for? You know, does Atari have the type of dedicated, you know, crazed fan base that Nintendo has? And I'm one of those Nintendo fans, you know, but are those Atari people out there? Are there people who are going to clamor the spend? You know, $200 is the base edition. That is the regular black edition of the console. It'll cost more for the wood looking version of it. It'll cost more to include controllers like the joystick and things like that. You know, so this could easily be $300-$400 for this console, when you can walk into, you know, a GameStop, a Best Buy, go to Amazon, whatever, and pick up a PS4 Pro for $400 or an Xbox One X for $500 and spend even less on the regular versions of those consoles, $250, $300 for a Switch. So I'm not sure who this is for.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I'm going to go ahead and put it here. I'm just not sold yet. And if you want me to fund you, you need to give me more details. And I think they need to come out. They need to do with what Nintendo did, and they need to say, we have this huge exclusive coming out, and get people excited for it, and which they have not done very well at all. Mm-hmm. They have not gotten anybody excited for anything.
Well, and the fact that it is being crowdfunded is also super weird. Atari has tried this a little bit. We actually talked about it when they were doing the Roller Coaster Tycoon thing, where you were essentially investing in the game. And I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not saying that it's something they shouldn't do. I am saying it's weird and it's different. And it's certainly not something you see Sony, Microsoft, or Nintendo doing. Nobody really crowdfunds from that level. This is unique, and I'm curious to see how people will react to it. I can tell you that right now, with the information I have, I'm not contributing $200 to get the base edition of this console. I don't know enough about it to do that. At least for the Switch, yeah, it was a $300 investment, but I knew I could get Zelda day one. I knew Mario was coming. I knew other games were coming down the pipe because I know what Mario's IP is. And if you got a PS4 or an Xbox One on launch day, yeah, maybe the launch window wasn't as good as you wanted it to be, but you knew that, you know, The Last of Us was coming.
Right.
The Last of Us 2 was coming. You knew that, you know, another Halo was coming, another Gears of War was coming, that these massive first-party IP are out there. I don't know what Atari has.
It's just, you're right, man. It's just so weird. It's just a weird, weird way everything's handled with this whole system, this console. but in the end of the day, again, so what happens if I actually just started thinking about this. So what happens if they don't get the funding because they've given nobody anything to go off of
other than
it's Atari, it's new, I want it.
So this is an important thing to be aware of. So all right. The people may not be super familiar with crowdfunding or even Indiegogo. Indiegogo and Kickstarter are two different crowdfunding websites, the two big ones. Basically, this allows people to give money towards a project and in turn get something for their money. Now, the idea here is that the people who are giving this money are essentially investing to help this product get made. So,
right.
Video games, board games, art, books, music, movies, those types of things, right? Projects that need money and maybe you can't get a loan or you don't have investors. This is a way to do it. And so people get something for investing and for putting themselves out there. Usually they get a copy of the game or a copy of the movie, and they spend a little more than you would at retail, right? So if it's a movie, maybe $35 gets you the DVD, you know, but, you know, $15 or $20 gets you the digital copy. And the idea is that they need to make a profit off of these contributions to make the project. Well, on Kickstarter, everything on Kickstarter has a funding goal. And if they reach the funding goal, the project is, quote, funded. Everybody gets charged, and then they're supposed to make the thing. If a project does not reach the goal, it is not funded, nobody gets charged, no money is exchanged. Indiegogo is different. There are choices with Indiegogo, and this campaign is not live yet, we don't know the details, but some campaigns work like Kickstarter. Some do not. Some of these Indiegogo campaigns get to keep any money that is made, even if they don't reach the goal. So that's a little bit risky. The idea being that maybe they launch another campaign, a second round of funding, and they get something for that time so they can start the ball rolling is the idea. It's happened to me early on back when I got into crowdfunding initially, kind of before Kickstarter was even a thing. And it can be frustrating. You know, you can give money to a project that never exists, and you have no idea what happened to your money, if it went to the project at all, or, you know, helped pay for some, you know, some nights out in the town. You have no idea because there was never a product made because the project wasn't funded. I would imagine with Atari behind it, they're going to try and be as, you know, on the up and up as possible, but we won't know until the campaign goes live, or at least closer to when it goes live on May 30th.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know much about the crowdfunding. I have never contributed to anything personally. And it's nothing personal. It's just I'm a consumer product person. I'd rather wait and just get it at a store. So it's one of those things. But, guys, we're like you. We're holding our breath. So when's the next time we're supposed to hear some more information?
Well, that's part of the problem. May 30th is when the campaign goes live, so we will know, theoretically, more information then. At a minimum, we should know what the different contribution levels are, so the different things you can get for your money. You know, we know that there will be this black edition called Onyx, and we know there's this wooden edition that will be some type of special edition of the console, so we'll find out what that one costs and, you know, the extra components if you want the controllers and things like that. I imagine there'll be some cheaper levels for people who don't necessarily want to go all in for the console and help in some other way. So we will definitely know more on May 30th, regardless, because the campaign will go live or not. But we may not learn anything until then.
Yeah. Well, May 30th.
There you go.
We'll be looking out.
All right, man. So let's move on then to some Red Dead Redemption 2 news.
Yeah, so Red Dead Redemption is probably going to be one of the biggest games of 2018 in contender with God of War. So we're talking, these guys are going up against Game of the Year, which is pretty likely for these two games. Basically, they've just said that there's going to be some new special editions. And without saying too much details, the special editions will have more game to them, I guess, from what I'm reading, is they're going to actually have probably, I imagine, there's some DLC and some exclusive that'll go with these editions. But I don't know how many editions, which is pretty interesting. So it looks like they're going to offer a basic version, a version that goes beyond the basic, and then some elite version, which is pretty different. I haven't really seen that done very often with the console games. What do you think?
I mean, there's been so many special editions over the years, you know, that comes with season passes or extra DLC. I mean, if you pre-order Spider-Man, you get a bunch of different costume sets and stuff like that. Everyone's trying to do it differently just to come up with reasons to pre-order something and get these special editions. So
yeah, but this is kind of different. So it sounds to me, and it's very vague, we don't have very much information other than there are versions that will have more game to them, right? So,
like, is that, do you mean, like, is it just DLC that you get with it?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. It doesn't specify. We don't know if it's getting more DLC or if it's physically getting new, like, I don't know. The game is expanded even further. It can be bigger. I have no idea. They're not very clear on that quite yet. But I will tell you this. PlayStation players will most likely get first access to some of the online content.
Yeah, see, so these like timed exclusives I always find very frustrating because you end up being able to get the stuff later and it's a patience game, but then some of it gets ruined for you because other people got it first.
Yeah.
I don't care for that type of stuff at all. I find it really frustrating. I think that if you're going to release a game on a platform, it just needs to be available on that platform. If you want to leave people out, then just don't release it on that platform.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're probably going to go the route with microtransactions because there's definitely going to be an online multiplayer mode. And from what they've said, it's going to be very substantial and engaging. So I imagine that there might even be missions. It is open world. So microtransactions might be something like get a crate that has, you know, special weapons or gear. Who knows? I know it is set to release here October 26th for PS4 and Xbox One. The game is set in 1899, and it's 12 years before the events of the first Red Dead Redemption.
That's so weird to me, like, because so they're calling it Red Dead 2, but
it's a prequel. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Super confusing.
I know. I'm really interested in these special editions, and if it is just DLC, I'm gonna say that, you know, that's nothing new to me. Now, if it is a completely, like, there is a whole section of the map that's locked down unless you purchase this version, that'd be kind of cool. You know, not in the sense like, if you're willing to spend that extra money, that's cool. But like for us, people who want to play the game, they can still enjoy the game, but there's other portions. It's kind of like Destiny. You know how there's certain areas, if you paid, you can have?
Yeah, but that's usually DLC or expansions, you know, that type of thing.
So, maybe that's what I'm wondering. Is it an expansion type deal or is it DLC? So, that's the only news, but I think Sony's killing it this year. Like, last year was Nintendo's. This year is going to be Sony.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot of year to go, and so we'll have to kind of wait and see, I think. But they are off to a pretty good start.
Because, like, what does Xbox really have coming out right now?
Yeah, I mean, Microsoft's not in a great spot. I think, you know, Nintendo has the opportunity to really release a couple of big titles this year. You know, with the possibility of a new Smash Brothers coming out in 2018 is impressive. So,
I'm just saying, like, honestly, if Last of Us 2 were coming out this year, it'd be done. It'd be game over. Like, Sony would take this year with God of War and Last of Us 2. But they're going to save it for next year because it's only smart, because they've got God of War this year, and they might as well just wait till next year and cap it with Last of Us 2.
Yeah, man.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, I just, like, I'm... For those listening, I am a hardcore Sony fan, a PlayStation fan, and I actually just picked up an Xbox, so I'm excited to play some of their exclusives. But after looking at the exclusive list, there's a good handful of Xbox exclusives, but there's nothing, like, and I hate to, I'm not trying to sound biased, but there's nothing compared to the PlayStation exclusives. Like, I hate to say it, like...
Well, the big draw for the Xbox... The big draw for the Xbox right now is its backwards compatibility.
That is a big deal, and actually it's very nice to go to GameStop and be like, I want to play Gears of War, and you just go pick up the 360 versions, which are $2.
I mean, that might be a little on the cheap side. I don't expect them to be that cheap, but the fact is, though, right now the Xbox One has the largest game library because of that.
It does.
And the 360 era, don't forget, the 360 era was dominated by Microsoft, and it has a lot of good games that are now backwards compatible with the One. So it's still a good console. It's a better media console than anything else on the market. But yeah, Sony is doing a very good job right now. They're in first place. They know it. They're able to kind of control things a bit. And then, of course, you have Nintendo, who's just off basically playing Nintendo's a different sport. So
they're playing their own game. Yeah, they're playing their, but you know what? If you're thinking about capping gaming as a whole, Nintendo... Sony just basically Nintendo had taken the reins for a minute there last year for a while, and Sony came back with this, and they're reminding us who they are. And
I mean, maybe the Switch is still leading in
I was just about to say the so. Switch will probably still lead, but
yeah. I don't think anybody's going to buy a PlayStation 4 just for God of War.
There are some.
I don't think so. I think that God of War as a franchise, I don't know if that's going to convert anybody, right? Is it for the same reason I don't think anyone's buying an Xbox for Halo?
I think there are. For Halo specifically, I think there are a lot of people who bought, when they were making the decision, they went with Xbox because of Halo.
I mean, maybe. I can't imagine that number is very high. Nintendo, on the other hand, has so much iconic IP between Zelda, Mario, Donkey Kong, Metroid, Star Fox, Kirby,
yeah,
you know, Splatoon now, that they're able to kind of corner their own demographic, because if you want to play these iconic characters, some of these characters are you know, more iconic than what anybody else has in their field. But I just don't think that Sony and Microsoft really have that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. You'll probably, I mean, they've got a good set of characters, but it's nothing as compelling as Nintendo's. And Nintendo's had these characters for 30 years, you know? Mm-hmm. That's the thing, too. Like, you know, Sony has Nathan Drake, but Nathan Drake's only been around since 2003, so, 2004. So.
Right.
That big. You're not Mario, bro.
not quite. Not yet, anyway. Not yet. You know. So, we'll have to see. But on to our last piece of news is, it is Nintendo. So, Nintendo is being sued. Nintendo is being sued by GameVice again. They've been sued by GameVice before, and GameVice has dropped the charges, but the suit. So this time around, they are being sued for the detachable controller design on the Nintendo Switch, and they've actually lodged a complaint. They filed a complaint against the ITC, which is the International Trade Commission in the United States. This is kind of a big deal, because the ITC may be forced to stop Nintendo from actually putting the Switch on the shelves.
I don't mean to cut you off, but this happens all the time. Companies will try to claim they came up with it first, and it's just to piss off Nintendo. That's all they're doing. They're pissing them off because they know they can, and they're basically trying to strong arm them. I don't think this is going to go anywhere, just like last time. But companies do this all the time. They get a whiff of some software and they find something that they thought was similar, and they try to go on their own credibility, or they'll add some kind of apps to it and say, ours is more intuitive, we've had it longer. And all it is just, they're just trying to play the game. Honestly, they're just trying to cap more market by saying, slandering Nintendo and saying, you stole our idea.
Now, with the thing that's important to note here is there are patent trolls, and I really hate patent trolls. But GameVice isn't doing that here because they actually have the product on the market that they sell. They've been selling since 2015. So this is a real thing that they design that exists. This isn't where they bought some patent and then want to stop a company from actually using it. They actually used it. Now, I'm not sure how much, I am not a lawyer in any respect, but you know, basically what GameVice's device does is it attaches to smartphones, Android phones, iPhones, and gives you physical controllers for those phones to play games on, which is cool. But the Switch is a very different thing, in my opinion. It's right. A dedicated platform that these controllers were designed specifically to attach to as one unit. So I don't know how the law is going to be put into play with that, but it will be interesting to see how it shakes out. Nintendo's sued all the time, it seems. They were sued over the Wii remotes.
You can't claim, I made detachable controllers, so no one else can make detachable controllers. They don't even look the same, honestly. Like,
well,
do they really
don't
look
forget that,
same?
That Apple won a lawsuit against Samsung, basically saying that Apple owned the rights to the rounded, cornered rectangle for smartphones.
I don't remember that lawsuit, but
it was a couple of years ago, you know, and Samsung had to pay Apple a lot of money. And I still think it's silly and it's ridiculous. And if somebody out there truly believes that somehow Apple invented a new shape, then I have some questions.
That's like
for
saying
you,
I made the bezel. No one else can do it.
You know, I'm not a lawyer, right? And laws are written a particular way. And if Apple was able to use the law, then that's
these
fine,
billionaires
whatever.
Have nothing else to do with their money except for piss off their competition and hope that by saying you stole stuff from us, we are the bigger man than you are, so you should buy from us, consumers. And that pisses me off.
Now, if you are interested in this lawsuit in more detail and you're curious about it, Polygon's got a nice article together that actually has the legal complaint embedded in it at the bottom of the article. If you understand legalese well enough to go through that, by all means, please go check that out. If you are a lawyer in any respect, if you have any experience with law, especially entertainment or video game law, and you know anything about how this may or may not shake down from precedent, let us know. I'd love to hear about this. Maybe we can have you on the show and talk about it, because this stuff really fascinates me. But I'll be curious to see what happens here. Maybe GameVice just didn't have their ducks in a row when they initially brought this up last year, and now they've got everything together, and maybe they have a legitimate case, right? So we'll have to wait and see.
So when are they set to go to trial, or when is this supposed to escalate?
I don't really have details there. This is not that old. The lawsuit was actually filed at the end of March, so it's only been a month, and you know the legal system can be fairly slow, so we'll have to kind of wait and see what happens.
All right. Yeah, it looks like it came out just today, this information.
No, the lawsuit was on March 29th.
The lawsuit, but this became public as of May 6th.
Oh, yesterday, yeah. Okay, so that's going to be it for our news segment here. We will move on to other things. So, John and I, if you didn't see anything from it last week, we played some Diablo 3 with a couple of friends on Twitch, and we, for the first time, tried to do seasonal. I have never played Diablo seasonal. I've only played the story mode, and John's never played on PC. He's only played on PS4. Yeah. So, how did you feel about how that went down, man?
I can definitely see the difference in contrasting. I only played on PlayStation 4. there is so many more abilities to upgrade on PC. Like, hands down, you can just do more. Hands down. And it is a little more intuitive, and it makes sense why it would be better on PC, because it's a... You click here, your character goes there and does whatever you press. 1, 2, or 3, or 4. On PlayStation, it's a little different, and you're moving them around with the joystick, and I feel like it's actually a little more efficient on PC, so... I can definitely see why it's better on PC, and I actually do like it. I think the PS4 is just fine, but I do like playing it on. But if we're going to talk about seasonal specifically, I don't know what the difference. Like, honestly, you're basically just doing a small. You're placed at a small point in the game, and you do a short mission. It's just a bunch of short missions. So I think that's good for people who want to get in there quick and get some loot and get out. But otherwise, I think, you know, if you want to play the game, you might as well just play it from the beginning with your fully leveled characters on Torment, I don't know, a higher levels. What do you think?
Fair enough. Yeah, it was a weird experience. You know, like I said, I've never done seasonal either, so... we had two of our friends who were, you know, they were already max level and they were at, you know, Paragon 200-300 something. And they were power leveling us, at Torment, like, I think it was 10 or 11. And so we had to basically stay by the doors of these dungeons so we wouldn't die. And I was trying out Necro, which I was really excited. I hadn't actually had a chance to play Necro yet on D3. And so I have my skeleton army that managed to help me get away a couple of times. Because, like, when you're like level 50 or, you know, maybe you're level 70, but you're Torment like 12 or something. And you're playing or Paragon 12 and you're playing on Torment 10 or 11. Like, you're going to get single shotted by basically everybody.
Yep.
So... there was a lot of, like, the run away, like, freaking Monty Python or something. But it was a little stressful, though, because, you know, everything's moving so quick and you have these tasks you're supposed to complete, these missions. And, you know, our buddies, Ryan and Brian, are like, we got to go do this thing, X, Y, Z. And they list all this stuff. I'm like, I've never done that before. It's, like, way over
checking
my head.
Checking these maps, you know? And talking to these people. And you're like, no, that's a really good point. You're just like... I don't even know where I even look at the map. Where's the map?
Yeah. You're like, well, you want to build, you know, these specific armor sets and stuff. I'm like, I have no idea, man. Like, when I play the campaign mode, I just pick the stuff with the best stats and move
exactly.
on. I don't really, you know, because you're not piecing together a set of armor versus in seasonal where there's like a set. There's different sets of armor that you get in seasonal. So it's just a totally different
Or is that just the
experience.
Way they play?
Well, that's in seasonal, you get armor sets. That's kind of the seasonal thing. You can't get that in the base, like, story.
Well, it's always like
game.
A mix and match in the story. And
yeah,
I feel like you almost get, I don't know, in my opinion, you can still mix and match, right? I mean,
in seasonal?
You can still mix and match.
In seasonal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I almost feel like you get a little more diversity. Like, I personally am a type of player. I don't really want to follow the rules. You have to have this set. You have to do this. No, I don't really want to do that. I do what I want to do, and I pick up what I want to pick up.
Yeah. No, I get that. That's kind of how I am, too. So it was definitely a different experience. And I felt because I run the stream, for those who've never watched this before. And so, like, I just felt really out of my element, and I felt like this just was not a good – streaming experience. Like, there could not possibly be anybody who could enjoy watching it that way. I don't think, but, you know, not the best in the world. I don't think it's really for me. I think I think just the story is what I really enjoy.
When the story there, it takes you to a lot of different places, and there are a lot of maps that I would personally like to play more, but maybe aren't fun for watching. Like, I always love the assault on the castle wall. That is one of my favorite levels. When, you know what I'm talking about, right? When they're all attacking the castle wall and you're just running across
yeah.
it and you're just tearing shit up. That's one of my favorite levels, because I can't stand the desert one. I can't stand it. There was quite a few missions in the damn desert. I hate that one, and the snow one. The snow one sucks too.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough. But it was interesting. You know, not my favorite. Not my favorite experience, but, you know, I learned a lot. I'm going to keep checking it out. I need to, I have like one task left on chapter four. I've got to, or act four, excuse me. I need to, enchant a piece of armor with a slot. And of course I'm out of the resources I need to do it. And it's a randomized mechanic. And so like, I have to go get more resources before I can move on. That was a little frustrating.
That's a little different from the PlayStation. I felt like the resources were easier to find. I don't know if it's because we're playing a different level on PC, but resources are a lot harder to come by.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's just the difference between going through and just playing the game versus the seasonal stuff that we're doing right now.
Right, right. Yeah, the power leveling thing is a little interesting, because we both started out with zero. We started out with new characters. I was a barbarian, and barbarian is up close in front, and just sitting there for an hour, don't do anything while we level is kind of frustrating.
Yeah,
and you can't do anything. You really can't even go near the enemies. Even little spiders in the spider level, the little ones will kill you in a second.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Like, so I started playing a little bit by myself, because I have to do a Torment 4 Rift solo. And like, even like Torment 4, it's like taking forever to destroy even like the smallest things. It's just so frustrating. I know.
These are like the minions. These are like the low level, usually. And they're whooping you.
Yep, basically. Yeah. But yeah, man. So that was our Diablo 3 experience. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe seasonal's just not for us.
Well, you guys have watched, if you've tuned in and you've watched all our streams, you know, you've seen us play Left 4 Dead, you've seen us play Borderlands 2, you've seen us play Diablo and Overwatch. So if there's anything, you know, that you want us to play, or you think we should continue doing this, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know. You know, we want to go back to just playing games and enjoying it. But if you guys aren't enjoying it, we don't want to force you to watch.
That's kind of the short of it. Yeah. So the last thing that I've been playing recently is a game called Overcooked. Have you heard of this?
You've told me about it, and I don't know. It sounds to me like, what game is that? Where you're in the cafe and you've got to bring all the food to the tables?
Like the mobile game?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. So, so this is a normal game. Like, it's a, you know, $30 title. It's a full game. It's called Overcooked Special Edition. Not really sure what makes it the special edition. It's the only.
And you got this for the Switch, right?
For the Switch, yeah. It is available on other platforms, but we got it on the Switch. The girl and I really like playing Switch games. It's just a good console for us. And I picked up a second Pro controller.
The corded one.
No. I picked up a legit one.
Oh, you son of a...
Well, so I have the corded one. I have a corded controller, but the problem is our couch is kind of far away from the TV, and if we're playing together, we can't sit together if one of us uses the wired controller.
Right.
So the wired controller is fine if you're sitting up, you know, closer to the TV and stuff, but from way back on the couch, doesn't quite reach. And we have a big dog, and so it's a recipe for disaster. So I used some points from Best Buy to pick up a new Pro controller. So I've got two of those now, which is cool. It was on sale anyway, but yeah. So Overcooked, it is an interesting game. Basically, you each play chefs, and you have to save the world from this giant monster that wants to destroy the planet, and you have to defeat it by feeding it enough food. And in order to do that,
awesome.
Yeah, in order to do that, this sentient onion sends you back in time to the 90s to become essentially like chef ninjas. And so you go through these levels and you learn how to cook certain foods. So you start out with soups. There's tomato soup, there's an onion soup, and there's a mushroom soup. and you have to do things. So you have to grab the right ingredient. So like, these orders will come in like tickets at the top of the screen, and you'll have to get the right ingredient, the right number of them, cut them up, and then cook them correctly. And when you cook stuff, there's a timer, and so if it gets overcooked, huh, he said the thing, a fire will start, and the fire will spread very, very quickly. And the orders have timers, and so if you take too long and the order times out, you fail the order. And you, basically, the way the points work is you get points or money, so to speak, based off of the orders that you serve. So the more orders you serve, the more points you get, the more tips you get, the more points you get, and so forth. When you fail an order, you lose points. And so you're constantly trying to balance the completing orders without failing orders kind of thing. The food gets more complicated. So then you move on to burgers. Well, burgers have meat, which you have to basically grind up and then cook. You have to cook the meat, mm-hmm. and you have to put that on a bun. And then there might be ingredients like lettuce or tomatoes that you have to cut up and also put on the bun. And there's plates, and you have to plate the food. And the levels get more and more complicated, where maybe you're separated from each other and you have to kind of delegate the duties and split them up. And somebody does one thing, someone does another. You have to start cleaning your own dishes, so you have plates to use.
Some of these levels are intense. I'm looking at them like one, you're on two vans driving down the freeway.
There are several levels like that. Yeah. So there's basically like on a food
pirate
trucks.
Boat.
The pirate run's tough. So imagine there's a couple examples of this one where there's two food trucks, and half of your kitchen is on one and half of your kitchen's on another. And then there's a third truck in the other lane that basically goes back and forth between the two trucks. It has some other stuff on it, like maybe your delivery window or your sink to wash the dishes or whatever. And you have to move between the trucks to do everything, and the trucks move, and so you can't just go back and forth whenever you want, right? So if you're cooking soup on one truck, you know, you have to make sure you get that soup off the grill, off the heat, you know, before it catches on fire. But the other truck might not be there for you to deliver it, and it gets all crazy. Even later on, things get nuts where you have like ice levels, yep. and you slide on the ice. And if you slide into the water, your character basically gets reset, but there's like a cooldown. It is so crazy. There's conveyor belts in some levels, so you have to kind of time stuff because things might move, and you have to think about, well, if I put this thing on the conveyor belt, will the other person be able to get it before it like goes into the trash?
That's crazy. So is it fun with two people?
It's a great game. It is such a good game. So there's the campaign mode. There's also a versus mode that you can play. The game supports up to four people all locally on the Switch. And it's not even split screen. You're all on one screen together, which is super cool.
That's why I love the Switch.
You can use just an individual Joy-Con if you want to, because you only need a handful of buttons. You basically need one joystick and you need three buttons. That's all you need. It's really a great game. It's super cool. There's all these other characters that you unlock as you play that, you know, they look different. There's some that are animals, and there's, you know, different things like that. It's a lot of fun, and it's unique. It's a really unique art style that's really cool. The music is super kind of addictive. It's a really fun game. There are some really challenging levels, and you have to plan ahead. Like the game is actually designed to make you play the levels multiple times because it's a star system, 1, 2, 3 stars. And you know, obviously, you know, you don't have to get 3 stars on everything, but you need a certain number of stars to continue onto later levels, which is very Mario-esque for those who've played some of the more recent platform Mario games. And so you might have to sit down for a minute and be like, all right, before we restart this level, what are we going to do? All right, well, you're going to grab 4 meat real quick, and I'm going to chop those up and throw them on the pans to start cooking those. And then you're going to send around, you know, whatever. And, you know, you have to kind of talk back and forth and coordinate what you're doing because, you know, you need to know when a person needs a particular ingredient or if someone's going to handle a particular food that's on heat so it doesn't catch on fire. And it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it sounds crazy. I can't wait to try this game out. Like, I want to come over and play it.
You should, man. It is a great game. And, you know, I'm always looking for multiplayer stuff, especially local multiplayer stuff. And the Switch just has a lot of that. And this is a good example of it right here. It's an eShop title, or you can buy a physical copy of it. It's $29.99 on the eShop. I'm not sure if the physical version's different or not, but You know, it's just one of those games where, yeah, there's like 40-something levels, and they're all different. You're making different foods. I mean, we're at the point now where we're also making pizzas, which is really cool.
So you said that it goes soups, burgers, or sandwiches, handhelds, whatever, then pizza, then like full dishes.
Well, eventually. So there's also fish and chips.
Right.
We got to fish and chips. We did that too. So like there's one level we're doing where we're split on opposite sides of this kitchen. There's a conveyor belt in the middle. And the level pushes us so where like one of us is on the top half of the screen, one's on the bottom half of the screen. So in order to pass food, you can only pass food when you're at the top of the screen because of the conveyor belt. The conveyor belt moves down. So we have to time when to do things. So I have the ability to cook meat and she has the ability to cook the pizzas. But I have the ingredients for the pizzas and she's got the ingredients for the burgers. And so it's one of those things where like she has to pass meat for me to cook, I have to pass pizza for her to cook, you know, kind of thing. And you have to really coordinate that type of stuff. So it might be like, well, you know what, if you handle the tomatoes instead of me, we're gonna make up time because of XYZ and all that kind of stuff.
Wow. No, that's good because it encourages the, like I said, the I don't know, local call, like it really encourages you guys to work together.
It does. It really does. And there is a versus mode, which we haven't really looked into yet, but the campaign is totally cooperative, which is great.
Yeah, like we ought to try that with four people.
I think we should. It could be a lot of fun. I think it could get really hectic, but it could be a good time. But yeah, that's it for me, man. That's it. Any other gaming stuff for you?
No, I'm like I said, I'm going to start digging into my Xbox here, start learning some how to use it, and probably start getting back into the Gears games and start playing Halo again and start playing all the games that I when I used to have a 360, start playing those games again, you know, like Fusion Frenzy.
Dude, man, the Fusion Frenzy I played was an original
Xbox game.
Man. I wonder if I still have it.
It was the best. It is the best party game, hands down. That I've ever played in my lifetime, and I might even be willing to try the second one.
There you go, man.
No, but that's it. That's all I got.
Well, then that's going to be it for us this week on Gamer Heroes from the Heroes Podcast Network. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of Gamer Heroes. We are every other week now, so join us every other Wednesday for a new episode of Gamer Heroes where we'll be talking about video game news and what we are playing. You can find us at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, or heroespodcasts.com. The podcast is on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, and Spreaker, or anywhere else that you get your podcasts. Please drop us a review on iTunes, though. It's still the number one place. John, man, good talking to you.
Yes.
I'll see you soon.
Till next time, game on.